This lesson was brought to you by Larry Acuff.
Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto you." And I think one of those things added unto us is the fellowship that we have with brothers and sisters in Christ. It builds us up. It encourages us. And I want you to know that I really appreciate your presence here to be an encouragement in this gospel meeting. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking of the song that we sang, "There's a Bomb in Gilead." We sang that when I was in college. I was in the chorus. Now, don't be impressed by that. They just needed bodies, that's all. I mean, it wasn't a matter. They didn't test you out to see if you could sing. If you can stand up, we'll take you. Now, that was at Alabama Christian College, not at some of the other schools. But I love that song, and I thought of what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah chapter number 8. He said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" And when I sing that song, I think of Jeremiah's words. Is there no balm in Gilead? Thankfully tonight, there is a balm in Gilead. And that is the loving blood of the Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That men do not have to be sad. That men do not have to be discouraged. Men do not have to be depressed. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and we can be saved from our sins. And so thank you for joining in that good song and lifting us up by it. You know what? I could just reminisce for about 2 weeks with all of you good folks. Many congregations are represented. You've been an encouragement to me and a support in so many ways. Last year, I held 2 meetings in the area, one right after the other one. One of them was at the Keltenberg congregation, that's in DeKalb County, and then 5 miles from there is the Berea congregation, and then the meeting at Keltenberg, it ended on a Wednesday night, and then the meeting at Berea started on Sunday. So I went to preach at Keltenberg, then held the meeting over at Berea, and I don't remember, maybe Monday or Tuesday night, there was a brother there at Berea, and I said, "You know what? Man, you've been to almost every one of these services." I said, "Are you following me around?" He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Acuff." He said, "You know, I've come to hear you preach because," he said, "I know one of these days you're going to preach a good sermon, and when you do, I want to be there to hear it." And so I said, "I appreciate you being here and that we can study the Bible together and hopefully be a source of encouragement and strength to one another." In the book of Psalms, you can keep your fingers in several passages of Scripture. When you and I think of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in John chapter number 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus challenged them by saying, "Search the Scriptures." In John chapter number 5, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." You and I know from Hebrews chapter number 4, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You and I can take the message of the Bible, and it is the Holy Word of God that will challenge men and motivate men to do the will of God. When you and I look in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "The bride and the spirit say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of the fountain of life freely." In Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Let him come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely." Our Lord in the book of John, He made that same statement, or one similar to that statement that John records, and that is that we take of the fountain of the water of life. My friend, tonight, You may come thirsty. You may come with a determination in your mind, maybe not to do the will of God. But you and I must recognize that by a study of the message of the Bible, that you and I are encouraged to do the will of God. I think of the words of John or of Peter in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible tells us that on that day, that great day of Pentecost, the Bible said Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words." Oh, they said, "These men are drunk." He said, "They're not drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he went into his lesson. He said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." He said, "Being delivered by the determinate counsel, you have with wicked hands slain, you have crucified the Son of God." Now listen to this. The Bible says, now when they heard that, what did they hear? When they heard the message that Peter had preached. Now when they heard this, the Bible says, they were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It is the message of the Bible. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It is again the message of the Bible that motivates us to do the will of God. Now when they heard this, Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter number 3, he said that when you read, you might understand. Now you and I look at all of those passages of Scripture. Not a single one of them says a single word about the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly and telling you what God wants you to do. You and I know that we do the will of God as a result of the Holy Word of God that's given to us by inspiration. The Bible says the Word came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You and I know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So it is this message. It is the Word of God. When you and I stand before God in the day of judgment, the Constitution of the United States will not be open. When you and I stand before God in the day of judgment, some book that man has written will not be open. When you and I stand before God in the day of judgment, the most popular television will not be on to judge what we're doing in life. The Bible says this book will be open. And this is what we challenge every man, boy, and girl, every woman to do tonight. And that is to be obedient to the message of the holy will of God. The book of Psalms. What a tremendous book and messages that are contained in this great book. When you and I turn to the book of Psalms, for an example, in Psalm chapter number 1, again, looking at the Word of God, what does the Bible say? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." When you and I look at the book of Psalms, we find the Bible tells us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. If you and I tonight were to go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 22, and if we were to read that psalm, we're going to find that there is so much prophecy regarding the coming of Jesus Christ in Psalm number 22. You and I are all familiar with Psalm number 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Surely goodness and mercy," in the last verse, "surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When you and I see the Psalms, we go to Psalm number 27. And the Bible Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail." He said, "Though an host should encamp against me, this will I be confident." And he said that confidence is in God. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 46, the Bible says, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the earth shake with the swelling thereof. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her in that right early." In the book of Psalm 90 and verse number 1, oh, we have read and looked at this 90th Psalm many times. The Bible says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." You and I find that that word "dwell" means to sit, to remain, to stay. "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." You and I can read in Psalm 100, let me back up, Psalm 119. In 176 verses, you and I will find that in every one of these verses, the command of God, the statutes of God, the law of God are emphasized. There may be one or two verses in 176 that does not emphasize the statute or the law of God. How many times have you heard somebody say this? They'll say, "Well, the Bible says it, and I believe it, and that settles it." Well, let me tell you something, my friend, that isn't right. Here's what's right. The Bible says it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. See, man has the idea, well, if I... No, no, no. The Bible says it, and that settles it. And that's what the psalmist is writing in Psalm 119. When you look at Psalm 133, you and I find that the Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." So when you and I look at that, and we'd go back to Psalm number 84. There are some interesting things in that psalm about how we ought to live our life. We're going to be looking at Psalm 92 in the morning, verses 12 through 15. Why? Because the psalm has a message for you and I as Christians. Now, I want you to focus with me. Psalm number 2. Look at what the writer says. "Why doth the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers have counseled together." Oh, look, the rulers did what? "They have counseled together, and they are against the Lord and His anointed, saying, we will break the bands, and we will cast the cords asunder." And then when you look at the fourth verse of Psalm chapter number 2, the Bible says, "He that sitteth in..." Now listen to this. "He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall see their derision." The Bible says that He will speak His wrath against them, and He will vex their soul because of the sore displeasure that He has. He says in verse 6, "I have set my king upon my hill in Mount Zion." Amen. What do we find? Oh, listen. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" Skip down to verse number 12 in Psalm number 2 and look at what that last verse says. The Bible says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way." You and I, when we look at this psalm, I believe there are three things that there are three things that He is saying to us in Psalm number 2. Number one is this, and that is, my friend, you and I need to recognize that the river of sin is raging. Now look at what He says. He said, "Now why do the heathen rage? And people imagine vain things." And when you and I look at this, He says, they have set themselves, the kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers have taken counsel against the Lord and His anointed, saying, "We're going to cast the bands away from us. We're going to break those bands, and we're going to cast those cords away from us." Now, what is the writer saying? My friend, you and I need to recognize that the raging of sin and the river of sin is prevalent today. When you and I recognize this, look at what the Bible says. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot reach, neither are His ears heavy that it cannot hear, but your sin has separated between you and God." We don't want to talk about sin. Oh, now, Brother Acuff, we want you to talk to us about some good, pleasant service, and we can go away about half dead, and we can go away and feel good and pat ourselves on the back. My friend, listen to this. We need to wake up to what sin is and what it does. In Romans chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse 10, "There's none righteous, no, not one." In Romans 3 and verse 13, the Bible says their throat is an open sepulcher. What is He saying? He's saying that in their mouth there is sin. In their mouth there is vanity. In their mouth they are praising the world and not God. And in verse number 18, this is what He said, "There is no fear of God in them." When man stops fearing God, I'm going to tell you something. My children, I don't know if they're not afraid of me now. They live too far away. If you train your children, somebody said, "Well, now, Brother Acuff, you mean tell me that your children were afraid of you?" I hope they were at some point. Because when I told them to do something, and, you know, my daddy, I tell you, bless his heart, I wish my daddy could have counted. He couldn't count. Because he never did say, "Well, now, I'm going to count to 10. No, no. My dad didn't count. He just went, you know, and that belt came out of there. Listen, no fear of God, when there is no fear of authority, when there is no fear of an eldership, when there is no fear of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when there is no fear of the Bible says there's no fear of God in them. When men quit fearing God, then men begin to act like the devil wants them to act. And in verse number 23, you and I know what the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you and I go to the book of Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 20, and the Bible says, "There's no man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not." In the book of 1 John 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, what sin is? The transgression of the law. Point number one. And that is, the river of sin is raging. When you and I look at that, and we look at our world, and we look at our society, and then we begin to see what is going on in our world, I'm telling you tonight, my friend, I'm telling you, brother and sister in Christ, that it ought to alarm us, that our antennas ought to be up, and that we ought to be alarmed at what's going on in our world and in our society, and that we just simply sit back and say nothing and do nothing and go our way thinking that all of a sudden things are going to change. Things are not going to change until we change them. Amen. When you and I look at the Bible, Romans chapter number 1, you're familiar with this, verses 18 through 32. And the Bible says in verse 18, "The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." We'll look at that again later. But when you and I see the wrath of, and you look at those several verses there, about 14 verses, and the Bible says God gave them up unto uncleanness, God gave them up to vile affections, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Why? Because they worship the creature rather than the Creator. They changed the use of man into that which is unnatural, and the use of woman into that which is unnatural. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Cuff, you better be careful preaching on that." I'm going to tell you something. My friend, I hope I have enough courage. I hope that I have enough determination. I pray that God will give me the strength, if it should come to this, that when the time comes that you and I cannot preach what the Bible says about any subject, then we need to have the courage to stand up and say, "I'm going to preach it anyhow." You know, oh, men don't like it. Men don't like it. Homosexuality is a sin. Leviticus chapter 18, the Bible describes it as an abomination. When you and I read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and the writer of Hebrews, or 1 Corinthians 6, and he talks about their sin, and he talks about their fornication, and their effeminate attitude, and he said, "But oh," somebody said, "Now, Brother Acuff, they're born that way." They're not born that way. They're not born that way. How do I know? God made them, listen to this, God made them male and female. The Bible says God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. God took man and saw it wasn't good for man to be alone. He said, I'm going to make an helper suitable unto the man. I'll make an helpmeet for him. And He took a rib, made a woman, brought her unto the man. This is now bone of my... I thought about the little boy being in Bible class. And the teacher had been teaching them how that God had taken a rib out of man, made a woman. And in the Bible class, the little boy, later on in the class, he said, Teacher, my side's hurting. I think I'm about to have a woman. Well, when you and I look at that, the Bible says God saw it wasn't good for a man to be alone. I'm going to make an help meet suitable unto him. And he took his rib, made a woman, brought her unto the man. And he said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And the Bible says, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
Amen.
Same-sex marriage is a violation of the law of God.
Amen.
The Bible says, God saw it wasn't good for the man. He made a man and a woman. And you and I, well now, Brother Acuff, you're just not with it today. You're mighty right I'm not with it. And I'm not going to be with it tomorrow, and I'm not going to be with it next week or next year. Because the Bible teaches that same-sex marriage violates the law of God. I want to tell you something. You want to have a chicken, you need a rooster and a hen. I don't care what it takes. You're not going to have a baby with two men and two women. God saw that man did not need to be alone. And when you and I see that the river, the raging river of sin is about to swamp us, ladies and gentlemen. The raging river of sin. Fornication is rampant. Fornication is a sin. Now, if there's anybody here tonight and you are not married and and I pray to God that's not the case, and you're living with someone, you are violating the law of God, you're committing fornication, you're separated from God because of your sin, and your life will be miserable living in that kind of a condition because it's not God's plan. See, this idea, well now, Brother Acuff, we're going to try it out. Man, let me tell you, I like cars. I do. If I had the money, there's no telling how many cars. I'd have more than Jay Leno. I'm telling you, I would have hundreds of them if I could buy them, you know. I like cars. I like all kind of cars. But now, let me tell you, I'm a little bit inclined to that Lincoln MKZ and MK or whatever the MK is. I'm kind of inclined to that. I don't have one. Now, I'm going to go. We went. My wife's sister came to visit us in Atlanta a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and so on our way down, her car broke down on, had bad transmission, so she just had it towed in to one of the dealerships there, and it was a Lincoln Continental. She just had it towed in, and she said, "I'm not going to fool with that car anymore. Just go buy me a new one." So we went with her, spent the whole day, went to one of the dealerships, and she bought her a new Lincoln, MK, I don't know what it is, but we went in there, and so she got her car, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get me one of them. Boy, man, I said, that's a nice car, that leather. Just smell that leather. I mean, you know, it was nice. So I went to this guy and she signed those papers, and I went to him, I said, I want one of those. He like fell out of his chair. You mean to tell me I'm going to sell two cars at once? No, I'm going to take it home, try it out for 5 years. Guess what? I'm still driving the car I drove in there with. You want this car? Yes. Then you can sign on the dotted line. You want her? Sign on the dotted line. It's a sin. Fornication is a sin. The Bible says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: lasciviousness, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, strife, emulation. Mark chapter number 7, Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man, verses 20 and 21. It's not what goes into a man, it's what comes out of a man. And what comes out of him? It is fornication and idolatry and covetousness and uncleanness. In our congregations, we need to teach our boys and girls, and we need to teach our young people that to have a sexual relationship before you're married violates the law of God. We don't need to exalt it. We need to condemn it, and we need to preach on it, and we need to let them know about it, my friend. Why? Because of sin. The raging river of sin. Now, I'm just getting warmed up. Let me tell you something else. What's happened? Our world, our society has epitomized, they have exalted the silly stuff on television. Not long ago, and I'm not picking on the Today Show, but they're guilty. Here, I don't know, sometime a year or so ago, these lesbians on there, oh, this is so wonderful. Whoa, we're having a baby. No, you're not. You can't have a... there may be a baby born, but let me tell you, you got to have a man. Oh, and they got so excited. Now, here about a month ago, one of the anchors on the Today Show, she was just thrilled to death. She announced, I'm pregnant. Now I'm getting married. Now that's the world. And you know what's happening? Our young people and our boys and girls and our members of the body of Christ, they see this and, oh, it's just so wonderful. Oh, this is exciting. Oh, how... No, 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 my friend. We ought to hang our head in shame. I don't watch this program. I've just seen some advertisements and snippets of it. But I'm going to tell you, one of the trashiest, dirtiest, most vulgar programs on television is 2.5 Men. And if you watch it, you ought to go home and turn your television off and get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you for taking in the trash that it puts out. You go home, you watch Mike and Molly, and who live together, going to have a baby at one time, and 11 million viewers a week watch that trashy program. Now, somebody should know, boy, you better hurry up. Can I get out of here, Brother Doris, through that door if I need to? The raging river of sin from the White House to the courthouse to the church house to the chicken house. Amen. What we're facing. When you read the paper, and you... I don't know. You see, it is the mindset of our world. The mindset of our world. Here's what it is. Recently, Louisiana representative was caught kissing his aide. Oh, it wasn't a little on the cheek. Have you seen the video? Yeah, who hasn't? They put it on the news. Let me tell you, that's why we've got problems in our world today. When we have our representatives and our senators, when we have these individuals and they flaunt the law of God, when they vote in their legislative process, and they will not recognize God, and they do not recognize Christianity, and they do not recognize the Bible. Let me tell you something, my friend. The way I can help do it is I can control my vote. I can't control yours or anyone else's. But you and I need to recognize the raging river of sin. There, I've not seen this program either. I just read about some of this stuff. Bill Mayer, whoever he is, on HBO, recently made this statement. He said, God is a psychotic mass murderer. Now then, friend, I know, and you know, what the Bible teaches. The heavens declare the glory. I'm not going to preach on the creation. I'm not going to preach on God. Have you ever thought about the fact in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God, and it doesn't take a single word to try to defend God? You can't defend God. Why? Because God is. God is. And so when we see this raging river of sin, then Listen to what we find here in Psalm 2. Why doth the heathen rage and the people notice this and imagine vain things? Go back with me to the book of Genesis chapter number 6. What does the Bible tell us in Genesis 6? The Bible says that the imagination, who comes up with this trash? The imagination of man was only evil continually. Now then, point number 2. You thought I never was going to get to it, didn't you? Point number 2. You know, I thought about the little saying, as you ramble on through life, whatever be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut, not upon the hole. So we're going to keep on with the donut. Number 2, and that is the revealing sentence of God. See, man has the idea. He shakes his fist in the face of God. He decides, look at what the Bible says here. Verse number 3, let us break the bands. Now, what that word, that bands, and the word cords in Psalm 2 and verse number 3, if you think about how that an individual is tied, not necessarily the word handcuff doesn't work right good here, but when you take how, and have you seen these little plastic strips? I don't know why you can put them in and you tighten something up, and I think they're using them now sometimes in law enforcement. And so what are they saying? When we're going to break the bands. Look at what he says here. Let's break the bands asunder. You know what they're saying? Let us do away with God. Let's do away with God. They're trying. Let us cast the cords away from us. Let's just get rid. My friend, I don't want to be cynical, but I want to laugh with God. He that sitteth in the heavens laughs. You think you can control God? He that sitteth in the heavens laughs. Look what the Bible says. The Lord shall see them. Look down there with me at verse number 4. The Lord shall have them in derision. That word derision means mockery. The Lord shall have them in mockery. Judgment. We sing that. There's a song sometimes. We sing it sometimes. Not much. Judgment is surely coming. My friend, judgment is going to come. You and I may say, isn't that what Peter said? In the last days, men shall say, oh, scoffers shall come, saying, where is the sign of His coming? Since our fathers have fallen asleep, all things have continued as they were. Judgment is surely coming. In Matthew chapter number 25, when the Son of Man shall come in all of His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and there shall be gathered together all nations, and He shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, He'll place the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand, and He'll turn to those on the right hand. Enter in, thou blessed of My Father, to the place prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, You fed me. Thirsty, You gave me drink. Naked, You clothed me. Sick, You visited me. In prison, You came to me. And then He goes to those on the left hand and He says, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. Why? I was hungry and You didn't feed Me. Thirsty and You... Oh, and these shall go away. Listen to this. Bill Mayer can shake his fist in the face of God and say God is a psychotic mass murderer, but the God of heaven will have the last laugh. Why? Judgment's coming. The Bible says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body. In Revelation chapter 20, John said, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. I saw the dead. Who? The Richard Dawkins, the Bill Mayers. Those who have denied that God existed. I saw the dead, small and great. Yes, small. Those individuals who have bowed down before the filth and the trash of this world. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. and the books were opened. Galatians. In the book of Galatians, for an example. Chapter number 6, listen to this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. My friend, we can't mock God. Oh, we can try. Oh, yeah. All you, as what Ted Turner said, religion is a crutch. No, religion is a saving of our soul.
Amen.
And so when you and I, don't be deceived, brother. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I don't have time tonight, but I wish I could take every young person in America today and help them understand that you're committing fornication. You're living with someone outside of marriage. You know now that the marriage rate has declined. Most babies now are born to women who are not married. 50-something percent born to women who are not married. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Let me tell you something. Unless they repent, and even in repentance, we have to pay the consequences of our sin, even in this life. Oh, I don't like that. You know why I'm broke today? I'm broke. You know why I'm broke today? Because I spent all my money years ago. Not just mine, but yours too. I borrowed all I could borrow. Had to pay it back. Now, let me ask you a question. I ask God to help me to be a better money manager. I ask God to help me do what's right. I ask God, I'm sorry for what I did. But let me tell you, God didn't send a bucket down from heaven with a whole barrel of money and say, well, that's all right, brother, here it is. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You look at 2 Thessalonians 1, when you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God and the glory of His power. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God shall send them what? Strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they did not believe the truth. Here's some old boy. He won't go to church with his wife. He doesn't care about Christians. But she encourages him. Will you go to church with me? Go to church with me. Finally, one Sunday, Brother Doris, he decides to come. And lo and behold, it happens to be on a Sunday. The preacher hadn't preached on giving in 3 years. But that Sunday, the preacher preaches on giving. Real loud, you. That's all they want. They want your money. That's all they want. I ain't going back down there. Well, man, it takes her another 2 years to get him to come back. And lo and behold, she finally gets him to come back a second time. Guess what? Happens to be on the Sunday the preacher preached on giving. Hadn't preached on it in 2 years. I ain't going back no more. That's it. He's sitting in his living room, in his recliner. Somebody knocks on the door. They come in and they sit down with him, and they're Jehovah's Witnesses, and they convince him to be a Jehovah's Witness. Why? Because God shall send them strong delusions that they believe a lie and be damned because they believe not the truth. See, when a man rejects the truth of God, he'll pay for it. Now then, I got five more in that, but I'm not going to go. We'll forget them. Number one. You and I see the raging river of sin. Number two, we see the revealing sentence of God. God's pronounced sentence. Now, number three, we see the redeeming love of the Savior. You know what? If I had to stop right now, it'd be a miserable sermon. You'd go away from me and say, oh, wow, it's awful. But let me tell you something, my friend. Look at verse number 12. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Look at what He says in the last phrase. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. My friend, tonight, when I think of the position of Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God, when I think of not only the position, but I think of the power of God. All power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. When I think, my friend, tonight, not only of the position, not only of the power, but when I think of the plan that God has given to us, you and I tonight have reason to rejoice because the blood of Jesus will change everything. Christ is the answer to the world's ills. Christ is the answer tonight to your problem and to mine. Oh, I love this verse. In the book of John, chapter number 1, you remember John's statement? Here was Jesus, and He said, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." My friend, you and I tonight have cause to rejoice. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He shed His blood. He died. He loves us. He's gone back to heaven, and He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And one of these days, He's going to come. There's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one of these words. My, how powerful that verse is. I'm comforted tonight because of Jesus, the Son of God. I pray to God through Him. I wear His name. You can be baptized tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whatever you have done, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Will you repent tonight? Will you make a change in your life? Brother Barry Grider, who preaches for the Forest Hill Church in Memphis, where the Memphis School of Preaching is, I heard Brother Barry tell about this fellow. He was rough. He just treated his wife awful. He drank. He abused her verbally, and maybe not physically, but it just got so she couldn't live with him anymore. She left him. She went home to her daddy. And after a period of time, or many months, went by, and in the process of time, he obeyed the gospel and became a Christian, became a faithful child of God. He wanted his wife back. And one day, he drove to the city where her dad lived, where she was living with her dad. And went up on the porch and knocked on the door, and the father came to the door. He said, "I want to get my wife." And the daddy said, "Let me tell you something, man. You get away from me. You can't have her. You can't have her." He said, Wait a minute. That was a different man. I'm a different man today. I'm a new man. I have obeyed the gospel. I am a Christian. I am a child of God. Don't you want to be a new man tonight? If so, come right now.